Good morning. As Jason said, it is very good to be here. It is very good to be here for all of us. And as he also said, it is Flora and Fauna Sunday, the second Sunday in this time of creation, in this season of Pentecost. A time to celebrate all that lives and moves and breathes or grows upon this earth. Now, early in the week, I chanced upon this quote, and this sermon almost didn't get written. I chanced upon this quote: "I meant to do my work today, but a brown bird sang in the apple tree, and a butterfly flitted across the field, and all the leaves were calling. And so I laid down my book, and I put away my computer, and I went out. It was a good afternoon, and I hope I wrote a better sermon for the afternoon listening to the love of all that was calling." It is fitting that this time of creation happens within the season of Pentecost. And Pentecost is, like much of the Christian calendar, borrowed from our Jewish brethren and their marking of the year. The English word Pentecost, you would think, means rushing wind or the Spirit of God. It doesn't. It's a transliteration of the Greek word Pentecostus, which simply means 50. It comes from the ancient Christian expression Pentecosta Hemera, which means 50th day. We did not invent this phrase. Rather, we borrowed it from Greek-speaking Jews who used the phrase to refer to a Jewish holiday. And this holiday was known as the Festival of Weeks. It comes from an expression in Leviticus which instructs people to count 7 weeks or 50 days from the end of Passover to the beginning of the next holiday. This weeks was the second great feast in Israel's yearly cycle of holy days. And it was originally a harvest festival. But in time, it turned into a day to commemorate the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. This day became especially significant for Christians because 7 weeks after the resurrection of Jesus, during that Jewish celebration of weeks, the Holy Spirit was poured out on his followers, empowering them for their mission and gathering them together like we gather together as a church. This event is recorded, as you may know, in the Acts of the Apostles, and it begins with, "And when the day of Pentecost had come, when the 50 days were over, the first followers of Jesus were all together in one place. And all of a sudden, a sound came from heaven like a strong wind, filling the house where the people had gathered. Something like tongues of fire rested upon their heads, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability to speak." And that's where we get that old notion of speaking in tongues. It is fitting that we celebrate the time of creation in this season of Pentecost. It is a time of recognition of the Spirit poured out on all things. It is a time of the recognition of creativity and all that God hath wrought. It is a time of the focusing of communal energy and a time of communal understanding, lifting up and praise. It is tied to abundance in the harvest and a time of gathering up and preparing for a time where the land lies fallow. It is a time of preparation, a time of seeing the trees that are about to show us how lovely and how necessary it can be to let things go. And it is a time of the recognition of relationship, of us to all else, to one another, and to God. A time of finding our place in this world and perhaps seeing with some new eyes and new understandings. Now, there are those who say that the canon of the Bible that we read every week is closed. It's finished. And I beg to differ. The words may be finite, but God has not finished with any of us and never will. God has created, as it says in our creed, God has created and is creating still and evermore. How remarkably arrogant it is of anyone to presume it is closed. To presume the Spirit has stopped moving or understanding has been finally understood. So we will let the Spirit speak this morning. We will mark with wonder and recognition what God hath wrought. We will mark with lament and recognition what we have wrought. And we will end this morning as we will all end with the mother of all recognitions. First, the wonder and the creativity. And I want to read poetry because we don't read poetry much in our lives. At least I don't. And it's a part of a poem by Robert Service. I've been reading him lately. Him of the cremation of Sam McGee and the shooting of Dan McGrew. He wrote much more. And I want to relate a piece of his poetry to plant the wonder on our own soil here this morning. The final stanza from a Service poem called The Wanderer, not Wanderer, Wanderer. If wonder is in great and small, then what of him who made it all? In eyes and brain and heart and limb, let's see the wondrous work of him. In house and hill and sward and sea, in bird and beast and flower and tree, in everything from sun to sod, the wonder and the awe of God. Good to hear Service spoken out loud. Now, I subscribe to something called TED Talks, and some of you may as well. It's an acronym, TED, that stands for Technology, Entertainment, and Design. And its tagline reads, Ideas Worth Spreading. For those who are not familiar with this organization, they present a series of talks by individuals from different disciplines on all manner of topics. And I'm going to shamelessly borrow from one of those talks this morning because I want to paint a picture. This TED Talk is entitled Hidden Miracles of the Natural World, and it's by one Louis Schwartzberg. Now, there is movement which is too slow for our eyes to detect. But with the creativity allowed by time-lapse photography, we can uncover and broaden our perspective of life. We can see how organisms emerge and grow, how a vine survives by creeping from the forest floor to look at the sunlight. And at the grand scale, time-lapse photography allows us to see the planet in motion. Decades of data give us the view of our entire planet as a single organism sustained by currents circulating throughout the oceans and by clouds swirling throughout the atmosphere, pulsing with lightning, crowned by the northern lights. At the other extreme, there are things that move too fast for our eyes. But we have the technology now that can look into that world as well. With high-speed cameras, we can shoot images that are 1,000 times faster than our vision. And we can see how nature's ingenious devices work. And perhaps we can even imitate them. When a dragonfly flutters by, you may not realize this, but it's the greatest flyer in nature. It can hover, fly backward, and even upside down. Nobody knew that secret. But high-speed filming shows that a dragonfly can move all four wings in different directions at the same time. We are giants, and we are unaware of things that are too small for us to see. The electron microscope fires electrons, creating images which can magnify things by as much as 1,000,000 times. A spider has great secrets. A spider's silk thread is pound for pound stronger than steel, but completely elastic. One strand of the silk of a web is 100 times thinner than a strand of human hair. With the tip of a powerful microscope, we can actually move atoms and begin to create amazing nano or tiny devices. We are getting to the point where we are able to patrol our bodies for all kinds of diseases, where we are able to clean out clogged arteries along the way. Tiny chemical machines of the future can perhaps one day repair DNA. We're seeing this already. We are on the threshold of extraordinary advances, born of our drive, our creativity. Kind of takes your breath away to think of all that. Wonderful, mind-boggling knowledge to have. Heady stuff. And so we move to lament and to recognition of what we have wrought. Now, a lament is not a traditional prayer. It is a recognition, rather, of a state of affairs. It is a time to consider what is, an intentional turning toward something worthy of lament. So let us paint a picture with our lament this morning. Let us allow ourselves to go to a place of lament, a place of honesty, a place of listening, a place where our defenses can come down. Let us paint a picture. 1 in 6 humans on this planet are hungry. Corn is one of the main foods in Africa, and here in North America, we use most of our corn to feed cows and make fuel. A typical 4-square-mile patch of rainforest contains as many as 1,500 flowering plants, 750 species of trees, 400 species of birds, and 150 species of butterflies. We lose 50,000 square miles of the rainforest a year to deforestation. We lament. Numbers begin to lose meaning when we hear them too much, but this we get. Imagine a world without the discovery of a chrysalis on a milkweed plant and watching day by day for something to happen. Imagine a world without the wonder of watching the emergence of the butterfly, or a world where the whale no longer surfaces, or the wolf no longer cries to the moon. We wince and want to look away. We use 3 times more oil than we find every year, but our need for this stuff is insatiable, and so we find new ways to get at it. We frack. And we extract oil from sand. We paint our lament together. There are costs to all decisions and complexities that seem to render us incapable of action. And in our lament, we cry out rationalizations about jobs and economic growth. We point to naysayers and to doubters. But that is not what this lament is about. It is simply about naming something of the state of this planet. There are 45 million, that is million human beings, in refugee camps right now. We bring all of this to you, God, this morning. From this place of lament, this place of honesty, a place of listening, our defenses down. And we move now, as we will all end, to the mother of all recognitions. I once thought I had the answer. I had the answer to why we are here. I thought I had answered the question Job posed to God of, where the heck, God, are you in all this? Many years ago, I spent a summer between school years in the West. I took a trip to what seemed like the top of the world. There in Banff, Alberta, on the top of Sunshine Mountain in the summer, after hiking what seemed like 100 kilometers to me and finding a place to camp, I sat outside my tent, staring up at the mountains, surrounded by stars and endless forests, and I thought I had it. The reason for everything and the why of anything was on the tip of my tongue and within reach of my spirit. I recognized God. Perhaps you have had a similar experience. Maybe not on a mountain. Maybe in a hospital room. Or on the edge of a lake. Or in a field. Or in your backyard. Or in your bedroom. For me, I fell asleep. And I slept remarkably well. And later, I discounted my experience because I thought that such knowledge was too great for me. I thought the canon was closed. I was too young and too uninformed about this God stuff to be one who might get it. But as I grow older, I have revisited that time and come to a recognition, a relief, and a trust that informs my faith today. And this passage we read today from Luke speaks to that recognition and that trust. Do not worry about your life or about your body, for life is more than food, and body is more than clothes. Now, some might read this as an excuse not to do anything, like that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. But I think it means something very different. I think it is the basis of faith and the foundation of the recognition of God. Now, in the last sermon that John Joseph preached from this pulpit before he left to go to Manor Road, he let slip in the middle of a very, very, very long sentence, it is all about relationship. And by God, he was so right. I was by myself, but I was not alone on that mountain. Jason has spoken of his pilgrimage when all of a sudden he realized he was not alone, although he was by himself. Now, there is a lot of music in my house. My partner Scott has given our four boys a love and exposure to all kinds of music. Now, I'm kind of the opposite. I treasure silence and quiet, and so I am sometimes discombobulated by the amount of music that fills our common spaces. But I was grateful for one set of lyrics I heard this past week by Bonnie Raitt and John Hiatt, and the refrain goes like this. Maybe you could sing it out loud. Are you ready for the thing called love? Don't come from you and me, comes from up above. I ain't no porcupine, take off your kid gloves. Are you ready for the thing called love? I was by myself, but I was not alone on that mountain. And I was ready for that thing called love. Most of us are not ready for this thing called love in all its parts. We may have experienced it in part, but we will never know it entirely because we are not God. We may gain glimpses, but we will never know entirely until we die. But we try. We try to capture this love that God has poured out on all creation and continues to pour out. Not only the love of parent to child, although that is part. Not only the love of Adam to Adam to keep the form of the plant and the animal together, although that is part. Not the love of presence to another in need, although that is part. Not the love of seed becoming plant again and again, although that is part. Not the love of supernova to the birth of new stars, although that too is part. Not the love of the man I saw in a documentary who nursed the stork who had broken its wing for 20 years. He made a home for that bird who could not fly. Although that is part. Not the touch of a hand nestled in another offering comfort and connection. Although that is part. Not the love of one Eva Mendel Miller whose obit was in the Globe yesterday, where she had this line from the end of her life, and she said, life is fantastically beautiful. I'm overly happy. It's indecent to be this happy. Although that too is part of this love of God. This relationship we will only know in part until we die. Leonardo da Vinci said, human ingenuity will never devise any inventions more beautiful, nor more simple, nor more to the purpose than nature does. Because in her inventions, nothing is wanting, nothing is superfluous. All is loved. So for today, from someone named Victoria Erickson, allow yourself to be rocked by connection. by something greater than yourself, by all that propels your heart. Surrender to the strongest pull you know. And I promise you it won't lead you astray. It will lead you home. When Jesus says, "Peace be with you," he means just that. The peace he has within is the same peace available to each. What an invitation. He teaches this repeatedly, sometimes rather esoterically, and sometimes from the wisdom we heard today. Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. Jesus knew nothing of ecosystems or chlorophyll or the molecular structure of lilies, but he knew faith. It was as evident as the nose on his face or the lily in the field, and so the love he knew, he gave to those around him. When Jesus says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you," it was as simple as just that. Love lived out. Go and do likewise. In marketing parlance, go and promote the love that directed this Jesus of Nazareth, the love that we get when we see glimpses of the kingdom of God. That kingdom is the symbol for a vision of this world so organized as to urge and enable humans to respect and care for each other, and so to promote the well-being of every sentient being, plant, or animal on the planet. In our day, this love takes on the meaning of recognition, of seeing with our own eyes what we know of interconnection. We begin to see the earth as one organism, and we know we do not ever act without consequence. We are not called to be assured success. We are called to be faithful to the vision, to one another, to the planet, to the vulnerable. Perhaps not an invitation, perhaps a command. And we end this morning with this from Wendell Berry, who is another of my favorite signposts to love and the mother of all recognitions. "When despair for the world grows in me and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water. And I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time I rest in the grace of the world and am free." We paint a picture with our worship. We allow ourselves to go to a place of lament, a place of honesty, a place of listening, defenses down. We allow ourselves to be loved and to love with all creation. We lay down our work and we take up your love to make it so. Amen.